Well, Marilyn, welcome to the Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. Though we are in the deep of winter here in Billings with one of the biggest snowfall seasons in 30 years, I wanted to bring some delicious hope to you. In this show, we will talk about getting your garden ready for the summer harvest. A bountiful garden requires some planning and thought. The results? Juicy, sweet tomatoes, snappy green beans, and sugary kernels of corn. We hear from Kate Rosetto, owner of Kate's Garden, and then from Claire Johnson, one of the managers at the Ganans Garden Center. Kate Rosetto farms her acre and a third near Lake Elmo to provide for CSA or community source agriculture during the summer season and for specialty orders from local chefs. Let's hear from Kate.
Well, usually I get my gardens ready in the fall. So
starting in September?
Actually, November.
November.
This year I worked until, it depends on the weather, of course. We had a nice long fall this year. So
yes.
I was out, you know, broad forking and adding soil amendments and mulching and doing all that this fall.
Oh,
so okay. My gardens are now ready. But what I can say to your listeners is that if you have a home garden, you know, you want to make sure that your gardens are cleaned up in the fall, if at all possible. Because if you let your plants that you haven't harvested, let's say the leaves are mulching down on the soil, you're providing a perfect environment for those bugs that were left over for the season to breed and gestate and get really solid in your soil, and they'll come out and just work.
So they don't die when it gets cold.
Well, it depends on our winters.
I see. Now, we've had a good one this year.
Yeah, this year maybe they are going to die, but the last few winters they haven't. And so the more you clean up your garden, the better.
So you remove it, just take it out.
I just take everything
off. Pull everything out.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you can't do that in the fall, it's really important that you do that in the spring as much as possible. I also recommend that you, if you're not an experienced gardener and you haven't worked with your soil much, that it would be a good idea to have your soil tested, have a soil test done.
Can you do that yourself, or does someone come in and do that?
I take a nice big shovel full of soil, and I take it down to BNC egg testing, for instance, is where I take mine here in Billings. And they'll analyze your soil, and they'll tell you what you're deficient in.
Oh.
And most of our soils here in Montana, we already know, are very alkaline. So mm-hmm. you want to try to lower your alkalinity. And we also tend to be nitrogen deficient. And you can do that, you know, you can adjust your soil and add amendments that will bring your soil to a healthy balance so that you can grow some good veggies.
So you start with great nutrients in your ground
right.
to have good results.
Right.
After you do that, what do you do next?
Well, I'm looking at seeds. Seed catalogs start coming in, you know, December usually. So I spend a good 6-8 weeks perusing the catalogs.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
And it is. My mouth is always watering, and I'm saying, oh, my God, I can hardly wait to get out there and start planting. But I order seeds. I tend to order mostly heirlooms because those are the seeds that I really prefer to grow, because I think we're solidifying our availability of the old varieties. But I do introduce some hybrids because there's some new plants that come out that
right.
I really want to experiment with. So the seeds are ordered. And
but how do you decide? You know, I would have a very hard time settling on the final seeds.
Right. You kind of have to read and make sure that the seeds that you're ordering are for our area, which is zone 4.
Yes.
And you'll notice that some seeds just won't do well here. I mean, just because of our short season. We can't grow plants here that take it over 100 days to mature.
We don't have that time.
We don't have that kind of time. So, you know, even your heirloom tomatoes, most of them will mature in 90 to 100 days. Sometimes your melons won't. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
your winter squash won't. So you kind of learn how to read a catalog and stay within the number of farm days, let's say, that plant takes to mature.
So that's where your selections are narrowed.
Right. Right.
Now, you, not only for the CSA, but you produce for the chefs in town.
I do. And that's the most fun part, because that's where I really get to grow some specialty crops that, you know, the average home cook wouldn't necessarily want. Although there's a lot of foodies out there that really like to experiment, like you, for instance, and yeah. me. But, you know, the chefs are more willing to experiment and introduce new flavors into their menus. And so I try to cater to them as much as possible. And so I try to meet with my chefs to find out, you know, and to educate them on what kind of veggies are now available, new cultivars, new herbs, those kinds of things. And then they can kind of get excited too and say, oh, that whet my appetite. I think I'd like to see if you could grow that for me.
No, and I love it, because I know that Jeremy Ingebretson at Lilac loves you, and you produce for the Northern Hotel and
the Field House, yeah. And I need more chefs.
I'm hoping that they get... you know, reach out to you and
it would be nice
secure your great resource that you have.
Yeah.
So along with that, do you actually sketch out your garden? Do you draw that out and
yes.
say, okay, in this corner, I'm going to grow this or put this there?
Yeah, it's really important if you're growing vegetables, not so much flowers, but even for the home gardener, if you have the space, to make sure that you rotate your crops, because every crop has a nutritional a soil amendment that would build that nutrient if you wanted to do
I
it
see,
that
I
way.
I see.
It's too complicated for me. I just rotate.
Well, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And it makes your garden look a little different every year.
Well, it does. You don't get bored.
And also your planning is that not the CSAs require a different mindset than
right.
growing for the chefs.
Of course. Because the chefs, you know, the chefs would be buying their carrots and their potatoes and all the normal things through the big distributors.
Right.
Because I can't compete with the price, for instance. But they're not going to get some of those specialty crops from those distributors.
Right.
Where with the CSA, I want to make sure that the home cook has the normal vegetables that we all know how to use, carrots, onions, potatoes, all of those things. And I'll spice it up with herbs and a few other things. But I want to make sure that they get the types of vegetables that they're comfortable fixing
mm-hmm.
and cooking, so that they're not always scratching their head and saying, oh my God, how am I going to fix this, you know? And I do give them recipes every week. And so when they come to pick up their vegetables every week for 16 weeks during the summer, I provide them with a list of the vegetables they're going to get and also recipes with how to fix them.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, as far as your preparation, you do practice organically.
Oh, of course. I've never used any chemicals in my garden at all. I want to make sure that the food I eat is good. It's good for me. I don't have to worry about, you know, pesticides and herbicides. However, we do have to use natural, sometimes, pesticides
mm-hmm.
and herbicides. And I use beneficial insects. Like, I bring in lots and lots of ladybugs. And and I bring in soil what I call them, microorganisms that go in and, like, you know, work with, eat the bugs that are actually in the soil. So there's a lot of things as a sustainable grower that you can do to build your soil without fertilizing with chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You can mulch, you can use alfalfa pellets, you can use blood meal, bone meal, you can use all sorts of things that are available now.
It sounds like if you also take a lot of care into paying attention to what's going on, that you can naturally work with Mother Nature
right.
for success.
Well, that's the trick.
And yeah, she throws a doozy every now and then.
Yeah, she does.
So let's talk about your CSAs, the Community Supported Agriculture. When does it start for you?
June 22nd through October the 5th, which is 16 full weeks. And so during that time, every Thursday between 4 and 6, you come and pick up your CSA. And it, you know, you bring your bags. I have them all in all your CSA. Each individual CSA client gets a box, and it's in my cooler, so it's all nice and cool for you. And you come and you bring your grocery bags or your boxes, and you take the things out of the cooler, take your box, and empty it into your box, and take it home.
I love it because you see your customers every week.
Oh, and I get to. That's the fun part.
Get to connect with them, and they probably see each other.
They do, and they kind of form this friendship. You know, and they like to talk to each other about what they did with their vegetables last week and their kids, whether their kids, they could get them to eat that kale or not. And it's kind of a fun thing.
I love it. You're nourishing family and kinship.
Definitely.
As well as nourishing our stomachs and appetites.
Yes.
And give me an example for what do you get in a box? Let's say it's about the June. What about the June box?
Oh, the June box is usually mostly greens because it's not hot enough yet. The plants haven't been in the ground long enough. The big plants like tomatoes and peppers, for instance. But in the springtime, you'll get scallions and radishes and you'll get chard and lettuce and spinach and those kinds of cool weather crops.
I love it, that emergence of spring and that green.
Yeah, and those greens are really good to help, you know, you detox from the overeating during the winter time. And so, you know, nature has its way of supplying us nutrition that we need seasonally. And that's what we've kind of gotten away from in our eating habits as a culture, is we used to eat with the seasons because we didn't have availability of watermelon at Christmas time.
Well, there's trucks that bring in all sorts of produce at the wrong time of the year.
Yes.
But we also have coastal production that makes it available for
us. We do. The challenge is to get that stuff harvested at its peak and then shipped clear across the country. You know, so people get disappointed in the taste of a tomato, for instance, because the tomatoes that are shipped up from California may or may not have good flavor, where if they come right out of the garden here in Montana, they're beautiful and they have so much flavor.
There's nothing like getting a tomato at its optimal peak.
No, nothing at all. I won't buy a tomato in the wintertime.
it really, you're spoiled. It is definitely not the same.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the advantage to getting produce from you versus going to the grocery store?
Well, the advantage is, number one, your produce is harvested fresh. I mean, it's either been freshly harvested that day or the day before. So it stays in your refrigerator for at least a couple weeks if it's stored well.
Right.
The other advantage is you're supporting local producers. And if we don't receive, if a local producer, those of us that are growing for our communities are not supported, we're going to go out of business, which is where industrial farming has taken over because farms can no longer make a living. Their kids don't want to stay on the farm any longer because the farm can't support the family. And so all these big, wonderful farms, family farms, are now being sold and they're being taken over by industrialized farms.
Well, and from the food sense and culinary sense, you actually work with Mother Nature in the seasons and you're having product that is the best at its time.
You can't get much better than going out and harvesting a head of lettuce and giving it to someone that day. There's no comparison. And, you know, it gives me so much pleasure. I mean, that's what I love to do. That's what I came here to do, I say. And so I found my joy in gardening and supplying food for my community. That's what I want to do.
Well, and I loved how you have evolved because in the 1960s, you had the sense of balance where you were producing essential oils with the herbs and flowers that you were growing.
Right.
So now you've evolved to feeding us.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always been from the garden. Everything starts from the garden. I always tell everyone, you know, Mother Earth has always was created to provide us as a human species, to everything we need is here. We just have to learn how to respect her and treat her so that she's able to do that. And so when you learn how to work with what grows around your area, whether it be an herb or a tree or whatever, nature's best medicine comes from nature.
Oh, I love that.
And so when you learn how to work with those things, which I love to do that, I know how to work with plants, it's my gift, I can provide everything that I need for myself. You know, I can make my own medicine, I can provide my own food, I can make, you know, do everything that I need to do with what grows around me.
So you are self-sufficient.
But I try to be as much as possible.
And you're trying to teach our community to be that way.
I am.
So, Kate Rosetto, Earth Mother, thank you so much for being with me and making our community a little bit more delicious and flavorful.
Well, I enjoyed it very much, Stella. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. I am joined by Claire Johnson. Claire is one of the managers at the Ganans Garden Center in the Heights, holding a certified plant professional certification through Montana Nursery and Landscape Association. Welcome, Claire Johnson.
Thanks, Stella.
Claire, I wanted you to share with the listeners what you do to prepare for your summer garden for fresh eating and preserving. I know you have a huge garden of flowers and produce, but let's focus on what you create to eat.
Well, I was standing out there the other day thinking that very thing. What am I going to do this year? I guess I have a little bit of spring fever.
Under the feet of snow that we have.
That's right.
Many feet.
That's right.
If there's
but,
such a word.
You know, it's a great time right now if anybody does garden or you think of all those things that you possibly could still be using right now. Like I'm thinking, geez, I've been out of onions for 3 weeks. Well, I didn't grow enough because they'll last till March.
Oh.
You know, if you have root cellar, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes. I've been out of potatoes since mid-December, but I've been eating them for 6 months.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking my peas. You know, I'm out of peas. I still have some corn, so that told me I grew enough. You know, so I look at it that way,
Okay.
But did I grow enough to preserve?
And then to eat fresh.
And I always eat it fresh, of course, all summer and give a lot of it away. Maybe I gave too much away.
Well, that's it. But your friends loved you for that. So how do you think about doing that? You know, how much property do you have that you actually grow in your garden?
Well, the actual garden is, it's only 40 by 40.
All right.
But I'm only preserving to eat for three people.
Right. That's still a lot of work.
But like I said, we eat it all summer. And I've got numerous people that, you know, do the barter system. You know, you can trade and give vegetables. That's pretty good.
You may have traded just a little too many.
I might have. But anyway, you know, I look at it that way. I look at what things you love.
What do you love? What do you produce? What are some of your three favorite items that you like to grow and preserve?
Well, I love cabbage.
I
have a lot of people that I love fresh cabbage cut in many things. And I also love to make sauerkraut, homemade sauerkraut.
Oh.
Which, you know, not a lot of people do that anymore. It's really...
It's coming back in vogue.
And I'm going to say, I can that. And, you know, obviously that's, you know, given away in the winter. And that's pretty prized in the middle of winter.
Yes, it is. It is.
So I do that, and, you know, tomatoes are fabulous. How can we go without tomatoes?
Do you have a special tomato variety that you like growing?
Well, I do. I'm going to say I've got a couple. In the summer, you know, I start with early ones so I can start eating tomatoes in July,
yes.
Fresh.
You don't have to
and
wait.
Then for canning and preserving, I use a Celebrity, and I use that because it's got that nice, big, thick meat that makes a nice juice.
Oh.
Which, you know, so many tomatoes have so many different textures.
They do.
Yeah,
and different
not
flavors.
As many seeds.
Right.
So, I mean, I love that one. Plus, it's huge. It'll fit in the palm of your hand if you're growing good ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so Celebrity's the one that I love. But it's not a heirloom type or anything, but it's a great tomato.
All right. And are there other vegetables that you like?
Sure, I like them all. I grow the whole list. But anyway, I like to experiment with new and different things. Every year I try something new.
What's this year, do you think?
Well, I'm going to Not that I haven't done this, but I'm going to get back into the broccoli.
Oh.
Brussels sprouts is going to be my new thing. I'm into little grilled Brussels sprouts this
year. Oh, I love them.
But I haven't grown them for years because I had such trouble keeping the insects off of them.
Oh, I see.
You know, the aphids.
Right,
but
right.
I'm going to go back and persevere again and get back into that.
Well, and, you know, as far as do you can the Brussels sprouts also?
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, I just asked you because...
I doubt that. I'll probably eat them fresh. I'd have to research out how you would do that. You might have to dry them or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, dehydrate them or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Green beans, do you have those?
I do lots of green beans. And I do peas, carrots, lettuce, beets, onions, garlic, corn, potatoes, raspberries, rhubarb. I mean, it's just so fun pulling that stuff out of the ground.
Well, the raspberries come back every year pretty much by themselves.
They do. Mm-hmm. But you have to stay on them, keep them weed-free, keep the old canes cut out. The producing canes get cut out every year, so you have the new ones coming the next year. It's a little early to do that right now with as cold as it is, but in March I'll be doing that.
So you clean the garden in the spring, and in the fall do you do a lot of heavy clearing and all that?
I clean up any weeds you've got. I try and keep it weed-free because, boy, that's so important.
Oh,
if you don't stay on
they
top
can
of
take
those
over.
Flowers. Yeah, and I do. The other thing I do is I put down a landscape fabric around all my above-ground crops.
Well, that's important
above-ground
to know.
Crops because that helps with the weed control. Mm-hmm. You can walk on it when it's wet.
Okay.
Warmth gets them off and going quicker. The fruit can lay on the ground and it doesn't rot as quickly as it would laying on the ground.
I see.
It just doesn't dry out as quick.
Well, those are great tips.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sketch out your garden? Do you make out a plan?
You know, I do because I crop rotate. So you want to make sure you rotate your crops every year. You know, like this year, my heavy feeding things like the cabbage and the corn, I'll get those over where I had my legumes last year, my peas and beans, because they add the nitrogen to the ground. So, you know, I'm always crop rotating. So, yeah, and I got a plan to make sure I do have enough space.
So you mostly grow from seeds? I mean, you do have the Ganans connection.
I do. Most things are put in from seed, although my tomatoes and peppers, I will do the transplants. Just because I don't grow them inside. If you were going to start them inside, you'd probably start that in April.
Do you have a greenhouse? Do you start your seeds inside?
I have many acres access to a greenhouse, but no. No,
you
I
sure
do,
do
not at home, but that's on my list. I might have one before too long. But no, because then you have to heat it and do all that, and you know, I'll just let someone else do that.
Well, you were talking about corn, and I was just thinking, are you using the new corn varieties? There's such all these new seeds that are super sweet, and are you going with a more moderate sweet type of corn?
Well, I like the sweet corn, white and yellow corn. And, yeah, you kind of watch what you buy for your seed.
Yes.
You know, non-genetically modified. But and we carry all that stuff, too.
Yeah, you do have quite a variety.
Yeah, so got a lot of organic seed. And it depends what you're growing. You know, like some things I don't do as organic because you can have a lot more failure in the crop if you don't.
Right.
So anyway, that's something to always look at.
Do you compost?
I have over the years. Am I now? No.
Again, you have great access to
but
good
I,
sources.
But I have a pile, and I throw a lot of stuff on that pile because, you know, what am I going to do with it?
Mostly, you know.
So it lays there, and then eventually I do end up working it back into the garden, yes.
So you put raw components in there, nothing that's meat, it's always, always produce.
Vegetable matter, eggshells, coffee grounds. I use a lot of manure. I have a dump truck load brought in about every year.
And I usually use horse
or cow manure.
Okay,
because that's
right.
What I have access to.
Right.
And I used to use a lot of rabbit when I had rabbits, but
really?
I don't have them anymore. Yeah, right. It's great stuff for your squash and your pumpkins. And I mean, everything in the garden needs that organic matter worked into the ground. It's highly important in production.
Yeah, and I think compost is one of the prettiest matters around. You know,
it's pretty
once
nice.
It's nicely formed.
Yeah, you know, and water is a huge factor in a garden. Soil texture is a major component.
How do you water?
Well,
sprinkling.
I have the access to irrigation canal. So, you know, but that makes a lot of difference if you're growing corn.
Yes.
Because, you know,
they need water.
I flood irrigate the garden. Well, a lot of people can't do that.
You have
to overhead water with a garden sprinkler. And you have to water a lot.
And when you flood irrigate, you get that water really down and the roots go further down into the ground.
And I don't have to water as much.
Right.
But a lot of people do not have access to that. So, you know, overhead irrigation's fine if it's done at the right time and deep and heavy enough.
Okay. That is a great hint.
Mm-hmm.
So any other great hints that you might want to give our listeners as far as gardeners?
Well, it's you have to be somewhat dedicated to it because you can't just plant this stuff and expect it to, you know, you got to take care of it.
You do, and that is the important part.
Weeds are huge, and you have to not mind pulling weeds because you pull a lot of them until you get that stuff established.
And in Montana, our weather changes so quickly that you almost have to be on it. It could snow in the middle of summer, or it could hail, or it could do things, so you need to make the effort to protect your crop.
Right. I've had it freeze August 20th.
Oh.
And June 10th, so.
You're out there throwing blankets around.
Happen.
Yes.
And no, I just reseeded it. You know, because my garden's it's too big to do that with.
But you just have to have that sense
of
humor.
But in town, you can certainly do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cover a lot of stuff in the fall to keep it from freezing, pumpkins and, you know, gourds and that kind of stuff.
Well, and that doesn't come into its ripeness until probably the end of September-ish,
It is late, and that's a great subject, too, because I know one year I did not put in fall plants. I thought, no, I'll just kind of do without this year. And it was not a good thing because you have acres of pumpkins, seems like piles of pumpkins when you grow them. And winter squash, that type of thing.
It's a beautiful sight.
I really missed it. Sunflowers, grew broom corn, you know, where you made brooms. Oh. That was really, really interesting. So fall is something to plan for, too. You've got to plan now for what you want to use in the fall.
Right.
Yeah, to decorate with and that kind of stuff on your porch or to give away or... You can't eat 30 pumpkins, I mean.
You can't, but it does make for great decoration.
Right, but winter squash,
yes.
I grow a lot of winter squash. I love the old Hubbards and Jarredale.
Oh.
Jarredale is a outstanding, thick, meated winter squash.
Okay.
But I tell you, if you're going to make pumpkin pie, that kind of thing, that is the
that's
vegetable
the secret.
To make it from, not
and
a pumpkin.
And you keep... all these squash in your root cellar so that you do eat it all through the winter. Is that correct?
I do.
Do you can some of the squash?
Nope. I don't need to.
Wow, I'd love to
I'm
see
not
your,
do all that
I'd
work
love to
if
see
I
your
to.
Root cellar. That sounds beautiful.
Well, it's not really a root cellar.
It's
my well house.
Yes.
At the, you know, because I'm out of town, so I've got a well. But it's, you know, it's just maintains about 45 down there, 45, 50 degrees, and that's where all that stuff lives for the winter.
That's a good old-fashioned natural way of preserving
it is.
Your goods.
It is, yeah.
Well, Claire Johnson, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your passion about gardening and your expertise.
You're welcome.
May you savor and enjoy the process of planning for a plentiful harvest. The producer of Flavors Into the Big Sky is Jackie Yamanaka. Theme music has been provided by Parker Brown. For more information about this show, go to ypradio.org. I'm Stella Fong.